As some of you might know, I rediscovered my faith in college, and it was the help of a Protestant group called the Campus Crusade for Christ that really kind of helped me to learn about the fact that we are called to a deep and personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, and that He wants that from us. I learned from them how to pray with scriptures, and I began to have a daily routine of prayer, that every day I would spend some time with God in the scriptures and in prayer. Well, the joy that brought me was contagious, and I was striving to try to tell everyone about the good news of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't long until this group wanted me to be on part of their leadership team. And that's where the problem began, because the problem was I was Catholic, and that didn't sit right with the leadership there at the time. And so I remember they brought in two older pastors, two long, great teachers of the faith to have lunch with me. And the scene reminded me a lot of our gospel today. There was me, a young sophomore in college, and here are the elders and teachers in the faith, and they're asking me all kinds of questions. They're throwing scripture at me. The only difference, I think, between this scene of my life and with Jesus talking with the elders in the temple today is that Jesus actually knew what He was talking about. I had absolutely no clue. I was looking at these ministers, these pastors, as they were kind of going over and over using scripture and theology and history and philosophy, trying to convince me that the church was wrong about the Eucharist, about what we believe in regards to the Pope and Mary and all of the saints. And I just had no answers at all for them. I just sat there, eyes wide open, thinking, what are you talking about? You know, the only answer at the end of this conversation, as they kind of wrapped up and said, now don't you see that the church is wrong about these things? My only answer was my grandparents. George and Helen Buning. I had a big farm right down the road here in Decatur County. And every summer and most Christmases, we would come out here to be on the farm. And I loved every minute of it. I loved to be with my uncles and my aunts, to see them working on the farm. In fact, one whole summer I spent down here detasseling corn. It was great, especially for a city boy from near Baltimore, to be here and to experience the wonderful experience of being here. I just love Indiana. They never spoke to me. My grandparents never once, in that whole time that we spent together, they never once spoke to me about theology. They never taught me formally about my faith, but boy, did they live it. I didn't have any answers for why these pastors were wrong about what they thought the Catholic Church taught, but I did know they were wrong. Why? Because I knew my grandparents. I loved them and they loved me, and I knew that they would not believe what these men presented to me as what they did. In fact, the very next day after this meeting, I went to talk to a priest. His name was Father Grace. His name, we called him Father Amazing Grace. And I remember I began to get the answers for these questions that were asked of me by these pastors. And these answers changed my life. I found out that not only do we have answers, but they are beautiful answers. And from then on, I dedicated my life to wanting to teach people the answers to these questions, and even bigger answers about the reality of God and His love for us. But the homily today is not about giving answers. In fact, nowadays we can read the catechism. You can go check out CatholicAnswers.com, or you can talk to Sister Joan. She knows everything. It's true. And from her or from any of these sources, you can get the answers to why our Catholic faith is based on scripture and tradition and in philosophy and theology and history. Heck, it's the only denomination stretching all the way back to Jesus Himself. It is correct and it is true. However, I feel that superior even to the beautiful answers that we can receive is the grace of something called an obedience of faith. Obedience is a more complete answer to the Eucharist than a whole series of talks that I could give on transubstantiation. This is because obedience is the fruit of love, and it's a lived faith. I loved my grandparents, and they loved me, and they deeply loved Jesus and His church. Even without a perfect understanding of the faith, I was obedient because of love. Even without perfect understanding, I could feel and know the truth that they possessed. Now, this isn't just an emotional argument for faith. Obviously, there needs to be actual truth behind it. But it does mean that we can be rightfully obedient, knowing that even if I don't know the answers, there's someone I trust that does have those answers. And because of that, I can be obedient to the faith. Now, where do we first learn this virtue of obedience? Well, of course, that's in our holy families. We are obedient to our parents throughout our lives, even when we don't fully understand or agree with what they might ask us to do. Because they love us, we trust that when they say something like, make your bed, we really should actually do it. Even though I still don't understand why we make our beds. It seems like taking off your shoes and then retying them. It doesn't make sense to me, but that's a whole nother homily. The reality is there's many things that when we're growing up, we don't understand or might not want to do. But we're obedient because, again, we love our parents and we trust in them. And so when they say, do your homework, and all we want to do is play our video games, we do our homework. When they say, get back in time at a certain curfew, we do, because we know what they want us to do is for our good. And even if we don't understand it or even agree with it, we are obedient to them because of love. There is really something extraordinarily powerful and profound when we believe and we live from a place of loving obedience to our parents, like Jesus did at the end of our gospel. It is what makes families holy. Likewise, when we live from a place of loving obedience to God, it is what makes us truly holy. You know, I've learned a whole bunch about our beautiful and true faith, but I thank God that is always more mysterious. There's always something deeper. There's always something new to learn. Because moments like this allow me to not depend on my intellect, to not depend on my wisdom or cleverness, but rather to fall on something much stronger, something that will last for a longer period of time, and that is my sheer obedience to God out of love for Him. It's not dependent on me, but draws forth from me something that is stronger, which is obedience. There have been moments in my life, I'm sure moments in your life, or moments in others that we know, that we look back and say, I don't understand why this happened or why this did not happen. It's moments like this that we fall upon our obedience to God. There are moments in the church, even going on right now, that are scandalous and disappointing. These are times when answers might elude me, but they don't stop me from believing. I call upon the example of Mary and the saints. I remember George and Helen Buning, and I love God, and I'm obedient to living out my faith. Because not that I have all the answers, but God does. And I trust completely and totally in Him. I hope and pray that this obedience of faith may one day make me holy. And may it make us all holy and part together of the holy family of God that we celebrate today.